Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Chai Chat. Chai Chat is a show where we are about creating new worlds at work. My name is Victoria Vitier. I'm an Enlightened Life Coach and Consultant, and my co-host is Mary Rockenstein. Good morning, Mary.
Good morning, Victoria. Good morning, everyone.
Tell us about you, Mary. What do you do out there in the world of work? What's going on? What do you do?
Well, yes, thank you for asking. My company is Leadership Edge Solutions. So I do a lot of coaching, a lot of training, a lot of public speaking, and really just a lot of general business consulting. That's what I do. How about you, Victoria?
Absolutely.
What do you do?
Well, I do individual consultations, and I work with people in personal life. I also work with people in their business world, their work life, and creating more of a world they want rather than a world they've complacently accepted. And so what we're doing here in this show, everybody, is to hopefully instigate transformation of the work world into a world that would be much more satisfactory and much more fulfilling for everyone. And so the engagement numbers would rise, and it would be a better world at work, wouldn't it? That's what we're about.
That's
so
right.
We've been looking in the past three shows. This is our third show in a series of gender and work. And this is a really foundational, important topic. It's not just, one of the topics on the list, but this topic is really foundational to how we function, how we see the world, how we work together, and if we work together. And last show, we went through six workplace challenges that we were looking at, six areas of workplace challenge: promotion, confidence, negotiation, technology, likes challenge, and works hours worked challenge. And we actually suggested some areas where we could mitigate some of these issues and some of these problems and ways to move forward in a more collaborative way. In this show, Mary is going to lead us in examining some more of these workplace challenges, and we'll do seven more today and hopefully really stimulate some thinking and some change in people's minds about how to approach these. Mary last time talked about, just want to revisit a foundational issue called glass ceiling versus leaky pipeline. Mary, do you want to kind of review that for people so we can use that as a jumping off point today?
Absolutely. And I would encourage people, if you did not listen to our show on, what was that, May 24th, I believe, I would encourage you to do that so you can hear a little more detail. But briefly, what the leaky pipeline theory represents is that, women are entering leadership roles in organizations, but what's happening is the further up the leadership levels, the further up people rise, women tend to fall off and drop off. And there's lots of reasons for that, some of which relate directly to the workplace challenges that we talked about last time, and some of which relate to the workplace challenges that we're going to talk about this time. So the important thing, I think, for leaders, human resource directors, just, people that work in work environments that are listening in, is to understand that this is a real problem. It is something real that's happening right now, and quite frankly, the leaky pipeline is also fed by the fact that women tend to be in more staff leadership positions than line leadership positions, and most upper-level and C-level promotions occur through line level. So there's some real opportunity. But, Victoria, as we've always said, creating the awareness, I think, is the big first step, and that's really what we're trying to do in these shows, is really just create the awareness and then offer some suggestions for mitigating and transforming, right?
Well, absolutely. And, we also, want people to understand that we're talking here, not just about males and females. We're talking here about what is gendered energy. This is sort of what is, kind of energetically masculine and what is energetically feminine. In other words, there are some things that the feminine, is simply better at. And we're also socialized as women to be better at those kinds of things. And again, male socialization, and the men are typically enculturated to, have some natural tendencies towards some other things that they are good at and what comes naturally to them. There are also sort of neurological differences, which I mentioned in the first show in May, and, other kinds of hardwired differences. But by and large, we're talking here about things that can be more balanced when we mitigate some of these problems. Right, Mary?
Yeah, absolutely. And why don't we, why don't we jump into some of these problems, these workplace challenges? How about that? And I'm going to sneak in an eighth one. So
okay.
We're going to go over eight today, but we're going to fly through these, I think, pretty quickly. So, Victoria, the first one I want to bring up is today is persuasiveness. And, if you think about the act of persuading people, there's a direct connection between persuading and persuasiveness and actually leadership. I ascribe to the theory that leadership from, Maxwell, leadership is influence. That's really what leadership is. And so persuasiveness or the ability to persuade is very, very key. And here's the thing. According to a Caliper study, women actually score higher than men in their ability to be persuasive and also assertive. And women typically are better readers of a given situation, whether it be work-related or social or what have you. And as I think about my understanding of EQ, being able to read others and being able to read situations is actually a component of EQ. So what I get from this is, women are naturally wired, I believe, to be good leaders. They're naturally wired, again, to have, high levels of EQ. And, I think that as we just makes the case again for why we need to make sure that we're not eliminating the opportunities for women to rise in higher levels of leadership, because I think women do have a lot to bring to the table, but the fact that they're getting shut out is concerning to me, because I think this is from my experience, persuasiveness is a core in workplace activity. I don't know if you've got anything that you'd like to add to that, Victoria.
No, absolutely. It really is. And again, from beginning developmental studies, female infants show a higher ability and a higher attention to, facial recognition. And so it's true that, women are just more, able to read people and obviously then to persuade or to influence or to communicate, with people in that regard. So, some of this is hardwired, but again, a lot of this can be learned.
Yeah, absolutely. So the next area, I kind of have to really chuckle at this next area because I have two examples very quickly that really speak to this. But, when we think of delegating, men are typically better at delegating and managing up than women are. And I remember I worked for somebody at one point in time who was very critical of me as a female leader because his criticism was that I was too much of a servant leader and I was terrible at delegating. And he was right about the fact that I was terrible at delegating. But here's the thing. He never sat down with me and tried to, show me how I could better delegate. Or here's an example of, you don't need to do this. You could delegate this, and therefore you'd actually be helping to develop your associate. It was all leveled criticism and almost a very flippant attitude about serving leadership. And I think about that a lot because he was right in that I was a terrible delegator, but he didn't understand how to counsel me and how to help develop me to be a better delegator. Do you know what I'm saying?
Well, it's interesting, and the question might arise as to why. One would wonder, why your first inclination wasn't to delegate. And frankly, that's because women are multitaskers, and they're used to doing everything.
Yeah.
It's part of your socialization. It's not that you're a terrible delegator. It's that just wasn't part of your gender socialization. You pretty much just do it all.
Yeah, it ties in with the second half of that, too. Catalyst did a study, I think this one was back in 2005, and it showed that women are typically judged as being more supportive and rewarding, meaning they are better at building team because they have higher levels of compassion and, higher levels of team playing ability. And I have another quick example. This was many, many years ago, but I was working for someone. Again, I was kind of his right arm in leadership. And he pulled me in his office one day. I'll never forget this. And he said, you know, I'm so sick and tired of hearing you praise your people. He said, I hear you do this multiple times throughout the week. And I said, well, I come from the school of you praise in public, you reprimand in private. I said, I do give them constructive feedback when they need it, but I do that in private. You will never hear that. And he said, well, I think that's terrible. I think basically what he told me to do is you need to go out there and start yelling at people more. And then in the next, I kid you not, he said, but you're really good at building team. How do you do that? And I about choked. I mean, from laughter. I was like, you've got to be kidding me, right? But it was someone who absolutely knew nothing about leading, knew nothing about, again, developing teams, which is a big part of leadership. But I will never forget that lesson. It's like, you've got to be kidding me. I'll go out and start screaming at people.
Yeah, I mean, why it seemed incredulous to you is because that person was sort of looking through the lenses of a dominator model.
Yeah.
Was looking through the lenses of a control model.
Yeah.
And so he didn't even understand what else exists and, you know, how can this work in any other way? But son of a gun, you seem to be really good at something very mysterious.
Yeah. And it's funny that because you have no idea who this person is, and they were completely the dominator.
Well, that would be
the word
to come
out
with that comment.
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So there's a lot to learn in these examples. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I know. So,
and we've all lived
them,
have we not? Yeah.
Yeah, I know. So as we've been solving problems, problem solving would be the next workplace challenge. And this one's really, I find this one very fascinating because men are typically more linear and what they refer to as being kind of narrow in their focus. They like to break problems down into component parts, whereas women tend to see problems more holistically and they don't need to break it down. They don't have the desire to break it down into the multiple component parts. And what I believe in looking at both of these is I think both perspectives are needed, and I think this is an area in which men and women can complement each other if they allow the other's perspective.
Absolutely. Once again, it's about, you know, sort of honoring the way someone else thinks. It is true that neurologically men and women are wired a little differently, and men do think in more stepwise, linear, you know, binary, either-or kinds of ways, black and white. But nonetheless, that makes it very important for them to integrate a more feminine kind of thinking into problem-solving,
yeah,
because the world is not binary. A computer may be in the way that it functions, but the world is not a binary world. It's not a dyadic world. There's more nuance, and women are much more able to embrace nuance.
And, you know, I just very quickly, again, another little example pops into my mind. Someone that I reported to at one point in time that I would say extremely arrogant, but again, it was important for him to break everything down into these meticulous components and meticulous steps and whatnot. And, you know, I think he just at one point felt that I wasn't grasping it because I didn't need to do that. And I wasn't very effective at explaining to him why I didn't need to do that. And I would come up with a solution of, you know, ultimately that he would buy into, but it just drove him crazy that I was not a carbon copy of himself in terms of how I approached problem solving. So it you know, I chuckle when I think about some of these because I've lived through a lot of them, as I'm sure our listeners have too.
Mm-hmm. No, absolutely. You know, and that's the thing. I mean, for someone who thinks in a certain way, it's important to understand where emotion comes in. They can get very frustrated with you if you're thinking out of their box because it's very frightening for them. He probably was very afraid that all the pieces would go flying out of the box if he didn't line them up properly.
Right.
And you were freaking him out. And so that's his way of controlling his world. He had to have his blocks ordered, kind of like dominoes.
Yeah. Exactly.
And one had to go down before the next one. And he couldn't figure out how you could look at the box of dominoes and see a pattern without touching any of them or lining them up.
Well, I just knocked them all over and smashed them. Yeah.
Absolutely. So, again, it's important to understand out there, and we did a couple of shows on, you know, parent, adult, child, you know, teenager. A lot of people can really flip out emotionally when they are asked to think in an integrated way or to allow for an integrated thinker or somebody who thinks differently than them to enter, you know, the problem-solving consult room.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
It may freak them out. So you really have to understand that just because you think this way and it's important for you to approach a problem this way, you have to understand that there may be someone who has a more spatial understanding and more broad perspective understanding of the problem that could actually help the solution, but it's not going to, you know, it doesn't have to destroy anything or freak you out.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So the next area really, I think, plays into both, you know, the team playing that we talked about or team building and then also persuasiveness, and it's questioning. Men typically in a work environment will ask questions to gather information, and in doing so, they, I would say, just come across as being a little more direct, whereas women tend to ask, first of all, they ask more questions than men, and they're also trying to gather information, just as men are, but they will also ask questions that they already know the answer to, and they're doing this to foster relationships, which goes back to their ability to be persuasive. It goes back to women's ability to connect. You know, I teach a class on connecting, and one of the keys to connecting with other people, Victoria, which I know you know this, is simply by asking them questions. And so I think, you know, to mitigate this is to make sure, again, you know, we're not prejudging each other. Asking questions, again, is meant to be a way of connecting with other people. And that's, again, one of the reasons why I think it allows women oftentimes to be a little more persuasive in situations than men.
Now, I want to make 2 points here. One is that there's a difference between inquisitiveness and curiosity and interrogation.
Yeah.
Men tend to ask questions in an interrogative manner.
Mm-hmm.
Women tend to ask questions in a curious manner.
Mm-hmm.
And even though you say women may know the answer to the question, actually they're asking the question not just to foster relationship, but to open the possibility that there's something else they aren't aware of that someone
mm-hmm.
may
mm-hmm.
be able to offer.
Right.
The other piece is I did a seminar one time. I was a student in a seminar where for 8 hours, it was called The Power of Questions. For 8 hours, we were not allowed to make a declarative statement of any sort. Everything
mm-hmm.
that came out of our mouth in the interaction in that seminar, a whole day, had to be in question form. People lost their minds.
Oh, yeah.
You can imagine. It's a, you know, the
uh-huh.
minute somebody started to make a declarative statement, they were cut off. Now, how would that sound if you worded that as a question? It was unbelievable,
exactly.
And I can tell you right now, it opened up. If you can understand the meaning of the word expansive, that's what it felt like. Questions are expansive. Now, we're not talking about interrogative questions. We're talking about questions that are inquisitive and about curiosity and openness.
Yeah.
After 8 hours
of Jeopardy.
Everybody was rewired neurologically. So this is very powerful.
Well, they probably should have gone on Jeopardy. They would have done quite well at that point, you know?
Probably.
I mean,
we could have
seriously,
won, yes.
There's some big money they could have won. But anyway,
absolutely.
All right, seriously.
But that was a very powerful exercise, and I kind of want you guys to feel through that. Can you imagine if for an eight-hour seminar you weren't allowed to do anything but ask questions?
Yeah,
it would
exactly.
blow your mind. It blew our minds.
Yeah.
We were all changed. So.
All right, we've got 4 more. I'm going to move, through these fairly quickly because any one of these we could take, you know, an entire show and expand on. But we're just kind of whetting your appetite here. Managing, actually, it's really more leading is the next one. You know, men tend to be much more direct, again, in their interactions, whether it be in the managing process or the leading process, whereas women, again, tend to soften their demands a little bit. And you'll hear women use phrases like, don't you think, you know, this might be an appropriate approach, or if you don't mind, I'd like you to do this, or this might sound like a crazy idea, but what do you think about, whereas a man will be much more direct. This is what you need to do. I need you to do this. I want you to, what have you, which again, I know from personal experience, I don't appreciate that directness unless it's a crisis situation and then bring it on because, you know, we need to move pretty quickly and get going, but other than that,
well, and the other thing is for people to understand that phraseology that women may use is often perceived by men as women being insecure, wishy-washy,
mm-hmm.
confused.
Yeah, and that's not it at all. But you're
no,
right.
It isn't. No, it is a softer way to connect with people.
Right, right.
A hammer over the head is not exactly a leader.
Right, that's right, that's right. And I'm gonna segue this in because it relates directly to the next one. What we were just talking about with leadership styles, communication. You know, men again, same thing, tend to be a little bit more direct, whereas women will be a little more tentative, a little more hesitant, and have a desire in meetings or in the work environment to really maintain some sense of harmony. And here's the thing, I can speak to this having been a female in a leadership position, and I think without exception, actually, no, I lie, in one work environment there was at least one other female leader, but in most of the environments I've been in, I was it. And, you know, so sometimes, you know, I would have to, in order to be heard, I'd have to jump in and be as direct as the men were being. But yet when I did that, I was labeled as being bossy and arrogant. So, and at the same time, men who would tend to try to instill a sense of harmony and be a little more tentative were labeled as being kind of weak. So we have to be really careful, Victoria, that we're not instilling those labels on people who are really trying to, you know, maybe experiment in the workplace with different styles and different types of energy and so forth.
Well, it actually, and in some cases when a man softens up his approach, he's actually seen as, you know, oh, that's really great. He's, you know, he's using some really different skills here. And a woman, no matter what she tries to do, oftentimes you're damned if you do and damned if you don't.
Yeah.
You're either wishy-washy or a bitch. I mean, it's one or the other. There's not a whole lot of room in between. So these are, you know, and we're not here to, you know, label or, you know, scold anyone out there. We're here to say, look, consciousness is really important. And it's important that you're aware of the prejudices, sexisms, et cetera, that we all walk around with because we've all grown up with them and we're taught to think that way. But
yeah,
those ways of thinking are Neanderthal. They're not helpful. They are not part of your evolution and development as a human being, as somebody who's going to be an effective work partner or leader in the work world. So we really have to kind of look at these things and realize what we need to develop ourselves and change some things.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Because they're not leading us anywhere we're going to want to go. If we
right.
continue some of these patterns.
That's right. That's right. So the next to the last one is work styles. And again, this just plays into what we've already talked about with team. Men tend to want to be a little more independent at work, whereas women are a little more collaborative. And we've really talked a lot about that, I think, already with regard to team and team building and so forth. The last one, you'll get a chuckle out of this one, because it was couched as planning. And the big aha moment here was that it was had to do with business travel, Victoria. And women evidently tend to be better planners when planning business trips and so on and so forth. They plan much further in advance, probably because, again, they're juggling not only work but home and family too. But in doing that, they tend to save their company a lot of money over the course of the year, whereas men tend to be very last minute. More kind of knee-jerk reaction with regard to their planning. So any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of interesting because I just thought of the category we just covered with the problem solving and the guy that you worked with that had to do everything in a stepwise way. We're
yeah.
sort of reversed here. When women are looking at taking a trip or whatever for work, they're looking at this in a very stepwise way. Okay, how
yeah.
will this affect these
yeah.
other parts of my life? Which is to say that, again, they're multitasking.
Yeah.
And they do have other parts of their life that they feel primarily responsible for.
Absolutely.
Whereas often the man does not feel responsible for anything but working and bringing home money.
Yeah.
In many, many cases. Sadly enough, you know, no, it's not the 50s, but yes, sometimes it is.
Yeah.
So this piece of data is really important. Look
yeah.
how the
it
way
is.
A woman approaches this will save your company. If we're looking at bottom line, this is pretty big bottom line, because I forget the figure, but it was a pretty big one.
Yeah, it is. It absolutely is. Here's where the rubber meets the road, so to speak. I want to talk just very briefly and then pass the baton back over to you, but I want to talk about just very quickly some five areas in which transformation can begin to happen as a result of these workplace challenges that we've presented. And the first one involves metrics. It involves making sure that we're measuring the right things. You know, if we are concerned about these workplace challenges that we've talked about, then first of all, we should be looking at how many women are in line level roles versus staff roles. We should be looking at pay equity, making sure that women and men, you know, doing the same job are paid equally. We should be looking at another metric, engagement levels of men versus women, work-life balance, desire to be promoted, and then attrition in leadership of both men and women, because, again, studies show that the further up the ladder women climb, they drop off, they fall off. So the metrics, I would say measuring the right things, that would be step number one. Number two would be ensuring promotional equity. You know, if you're basing promotions on past performance, then let's make sure that when considering men and women equally, we're looking at the same thing. If we're basing it on potential, then let's make sure we're evaluating women based on potential, not past performance. And similarly, making sure that when we're evaluating people, that we're evaluating people equally, not, you know, favoring one gender over the other or being softer on one than the other. The next one is huge. I would have loved as a female leader to have had a sponsor. That is one regret that I have. You know, I was never in an organization really where I had someone kind of looking out for me and having my best interest at heart. And it was, you know, quite frankly, the sponsorship piece has become a bigger opportunity, I think, over the last, you know, couple of years. But I think providing sponsorship for female leaders is huge. Number four, don't allow women to push back on top assignments if they say they're not ready. Recognize that that is very, very common behavior in women. A guy will all day long take on a challenge that he may not be fully equipped to handle, but a woman, if she doesn't feel 100% competent or confident, will not do that. And then lastly, through succession planning, assuming you've identified your high potentials, check in with them regularly just to make sure that they're getting, you know, the support in the organization that they need. So on that note, Victoria,
no, absolutely. Yeah, that's a lot, those five pieces, actually. And they're all really, really important. And the fourth one is interesting to me, as we talked about expectation theory and attribution theory. And again, you know, from research, we see that women basically underestimate themselves and men overestimate themselves.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's kind of very simple. So a man will take on more than he's really ready for, and a woman will say she's not ready to take on things she's absolutely competent to do.
Yep.
So, and all of this makes sense if you put it all together. So if you think about everything that we've talked about, it all makes sense. And again, this goes back to,
yeah,
I mean, it's not rocket science. It makes sense. But it's a system, as I said, that is Neanderthal. It needs to go. It needs to change. It needs to be transformed. And what I'd like you guys to do for your home play, as I always suggest at the end of every show, I know you're just waiting with bated breath to find out what your assignment is. What I would ask of everybody is to think of the different areas. We covered 13, 14 of them, I guess, in last show and this show. And what I'd like you to do is think about these different areas that we covered as workplace challenges and identify one that speaks to you. And maybe begin to practice mitigating that challenge for yourself where you work. Take a look at, okay, well, how can I begin to transform this for myself? And in fact, the next time you may judge or perceive a male or female colleague in a certain way, I'd like you to mentally challenge yourself and change their gender in your mind and then see how your judgment or your perception might change based on simply shifting in your mind their gender. So take a look at take a look, and this is very powerful. I've done exercises before in workshops where we've done this in different areas, and it's been extremely powerful. And so this, it's really important that you begin to take ownership for the fact that you are going to change the world, each and every person out there. This isn't going to happen with a magic wand from outside yourself. It's going to happen with intention and, you know, good intention from inside yourself. So what we're going to do is ask you to play with these challenges and really begin to operationalize them in your own life where you work. So what we'd like to end with here in our last 30 seconds or a minute is to promo our next show. So we have covered a lot of things from our end of it, and now we're going to go global. TriChat's going to go global next time, and we're going to have a special guest from across the pond. So
Woo-hoo.
We'll be talking, I'm not going to tell you who or what or why, but you'll find out next show. But we're going to have a colleague talk to us from, I believe she's in France right now, but she's a Brit. And so we'll be talking with her about the big scene as she's worked in different countries all over the world and does corporate consulting and such. So it's going to be a lot of fun. And
cool.
Yeah, so we'll have some transformational thoughts for all of you out there next show, and we'll blow this global. So anyway,
and that's
you guys
on June 21st.
That's it. That's what we're going to do, our very own. So you guys have a good couple of weeks. We'll be with you on what's the date of the show, Mary? Is it
June 21st.
That's it, the 21st. Okay. So have a good couple of weeks, everybody, and really play with these ideas, and you'll see. You'll start to see how powerful they can be and how much change is possible. All right, everyone, have a great couple of weeks. We'll see you with Chai Chat in a couple.
Bye.
Bye-bye, Mary. Bye, everybody.
Bye.